Good morning. It's Friday, February 10th. This morning, we'll get an update on efforts to restore traffic across Kentucky Lake in the wake of the Eggner's Ferry Bridge collapse 2 weeks ago. We'll also meet a McCracken County mother and daughter duo fighting bullying. Those stories are just ahead on Front Page AM from WKMS News. I'm Todd Hatton. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Front Page AM, bringing you the latest from around our four rivers each Friday morning at 8:35. You can hear more on Front Page PM this evening at 6:30 after Marketplace, as well as our hour-long Front Page Sunday at 9 a.m. It's been 2 weeks since the Delta Mariner crashed into the Eggner's Ferry Bridge, collapsing a 300-foot section of the road deck. The biggest question still remaining for motorists and business owners who depend on the traffic over the bridge is when and how the traffic will be restored. Chad Lampe speaks with Kentucky Department of Highway spokesman Keith Todd for an update.
For our listeners' sake, we know a lot has been going on regarding inspections underwater and above water, but the question remains, and that question remains to you too, to my understanding, is what are the next steps?
Well, of course, our big thing right now is we have inspectors out there rappelling down the piers. They're taking a very careful look at the portion of the piers that are above the water level. The piers were raised back in the mid-1940s when Kentucky Lake was impounded and when it transitioned from being the Tennessee River to being Kentucky Lake, the deck of the bridge was raised. And so they're looking specifically at the construction joints where the new portion of the piers meets the original portion of the pier. So that's a lot of what we've had going on this week. We also are supplying a new source of electricity to the bridge. Power to the bridge came from the LBL side, and as a result of the collision by the cargo ship, the Delta Mariner, of course, the conduits that connected to the Trigg County side were wiped out. So we're coming back, putting in a new power source from the Marshall County side, and that will allow us to have more reliable power to the navigation lights that are out there. Since the barge traffic was restored a couple of days after the incident, we've actually had people out there on the bridge operating a couple of generators to keep the navigation lights running. So that's been a big part of our activities this week, is to try to bring that new power source online.
Now, earlier this week, Congressman Ed Whitfield came out in support of trying to find a way for people to get across that river, and one of the options that he's advocating for is a ferry. And to my understanding, though, that's one of many options the Highway Department's exploring now?
Right. We're still sticking with about a half a dozen options. We may end up coming up with a combination of some of those options. And, of course, one of those options is putting in a ferry, but there's just a lot of issues to work out before we can get to a ferry. For instance, many of the ferry boats that are available require a certain amount of water to operate. And so when you get back up into some of the bays to be able to connect back to the roadway on either side, there's some areas where the water may not be deep enough for a ferry to operate. So we're talking to a number of ferry operators. So right now we're trying to keep an open mind. We're doing all of the pre-engineering work that's required to have it available so that when we come down to a point of making a decision that we'll be able to move ahead fairly quickly. Even though, you know, it may look like there's not a lot going on out there, there really is a lot going on out there. And we'll continue to be that way until we get to a point where we can find a way forward.
And you mentioned about a half dozen ideas, and we know the three that we've heard of consistently is the determining whether or not you could repair the existing Eggner's Ferry Bridge. Of course, the construction of a new bridge, which has been long planned, and the possibility of a ferry. What are the three other options?
We're not discussing those other options at this time, simply because there's a lot of stuff out there. We've talked to some companies that have restored bridges along the Gulf Coast that have been wiped out by hurricanes, that kind of thing. There have been some pretty remarkable projects put together along that line. But each and every situation like this is different. Every bridge is different. The location is different. There are different circumstances.
And Keith, are you comfortable ballparking when we might hear something? Days, midweek, anything like that?
No.
All right. Keith Todd with the Kentucky Department of Highways, a very busy person over the last few weeks, and we thank you for taking your time to speak with us.
Well, thank you. But actually, it's our engineers and a lot of our technical people have been the really busy folks. They've been going through a lot of material, looking at a lot of different things, and It's going to continue to be a busy time as we, you know, try to come up with the best solution to restore the river crossing there.
McCracken County's Susan Guest and her daughter Morgan have a message for bullies. Enough is enough. Through videos and posts on social media sites, Susan and Morgan are getting the word out on the dangers of bullying and how to stop it. They've even raised money to bring in speakers to talk with local civic groups about bullying. Shelley Baskin spoke with Susan about bullying and how everyone can be a victim of it, even adults.
You and your daughter have started an anti-bullying campaign. How did you get started with the campaign?
Well, actually, I had an interest in it last year and raised some money for my daughter's school at Lone Oak Elementary, and we brought in a couple speakers. So I was already passionate about it, but then this school year, my daughter experienced what I considered a significant bullying incident. She had a physical, ongoing physical bullying experience with a child at school, and as a result of that, obviously my passion became much bigger in terms of recognizing what impact bullying has on a child.
Is this something that you're working closely with the school with, or is this something that you're doing separately from the school and the school
system? Actually, it's a little bit of both. Our school supports us, and McCracken County Schools Superintendent Nan Waldrop, she and I have talked about it. We're totally on the same page. The hope is that the two can work side by side, because McCracken County is very involved in educating about bullying, and they continue and are trying to enhance that program. But the truth is, we know that the schools are getting less and less money, and unfortunately there isn't any or many resources to address this issue. And so my hope is that we can raise funds so that we can help McCracken County Schools. But honestly, we did a 501(c). We're part of the West Kentucky Community Foundation, so that we can reach out beyond McCracken County Schools.
Well, what kind of response have parents had with this? Because if this is happening in schools, obviously these bullies are somebody's child. Have you had any negative responses from parents, or have they generally been supportive?
It's interesting that you would ask me that now. Honestly, most people have been very supportive, but in recent days, we have had people who have expressed gossip, is really what I would call it, because from what I'm hearing, they just are not happy that we're gaining some attention for the project. And in fact, I would almost call it adult bullying. And the truth is, I've said all along that bullying, we talk about it in the schools, but the truth is it's wider than schools. It's bigger than the schools. It happens at workplaces. It happens in church and daycares. And it happens everywhere. We talk about it in schools because our children are there every day, and it certainly happens there, and we want them to solve the problem. But I believe that children are learning that from adults. They hear us say things that are unkind about other adults, about children. They may see adults exhibiting behavior that's aggressive. And again, what I've seen in the last few days has been disturbing to me, because as an adult, I'm having trouble kind of working through some of the things I've heard being said, and actually a couple people who've expressed concern about our own personal safety, which is crazy to me, because all we're doing is trying to help an issue that is about violence and people being unkind, and it's not about an individual, and it's not just helping a certain group. And so it's alarming, and it's frustrating, and it's puzzling to me, quite frankly, because the only way to gain support is to get public awareness of it.
I guess in closing, if you could boil down your whole campaign into, you know, one point that you would like to get out to all the children being bullied and even adults that are being bullied, what would that one point be?
The most important thing, particularly for those children out there who, again, are either suffering in silence or just suffering and no one's helping them, that they have to go to the school. The schools are there to help them. They need to tell an adult, and they also need to tell their parents. Because, again, I think there is that fine line for children, particularly between tattling and bullying, and if they at all are concerned, they should express that. But again, my big message is we need to make bullying socially unacceptable. As I've said, people can't go outside naked. They can't. It's socially acceptable. If you do it, somebody's going to call the police. But if someone bullies someone, if you see it or if it's happening to you, very inconsistent in terms of how that's managed. And we need to finally stand up and say we are no longer going to tolerate people behaving this way.
All right. Well, Susan, I appreciate you coming on, and I wish you luck on your campaign.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
To hear the full interview and see the videos from Susan Guess and her daughter Morgan, visit WKMS.org. Theater Workshop of Owensboro presents Stephen Sondheim's musical Sweeney Todd, about a vengeful barber in post-industrial London. Benjamin Barker returns from 15 years in exile with a new alias, Sweeney Todd. He teams up with his old neighbor, Mrs. Lovett, and they devise a murderous partnership that also provides income for their day jobs. The Theater Workshop of Owensboro is running the play in its newly acquired Opry House under the direction of Brian Ludloff. Rose Kristen Presson spoke with two of the actors just before rehearsal last week.
Yeah, my name's Thad Mayhew, and I'm playing Sweeney Todd, Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
And my name is Lynn Robertson, and I play the character of Mrs. Nellie Lovett.
So, Thad, tell me, what was your method for studying this character?
Oh, gosh.
Hopefully it's not real-life practice.
No, but of course not. I was just being really familiar with the work of the piece is really important to be familiar with. The scope of the tragedy of it is what's really exciting.
What were some of the challenges that you saw whenever you've been developing this character?
Oh, the words.
Like what?
Oh, just the way that Stephen Sondheim writes. It's very, a lot of patter songs that are really wordy. And the range. Sweeney Todd has a range. It goes from very, very low to very, very high.
Okay.
In one song.
Tell me about working together on stage.
During her songs, I'm completely in another world thinking about other things, so it's not like I'm interacting with her during her songs.
He totally ignores
she
me.
She basically is in a world but on her own. So, you know, like I'll literally we'll maybe see this someday, but during the show I have never seen it. I've never seen what she does yet.
There's many times I say, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Do you hear me? Well, but there's business to be taken care of.
Sure, sure. And going back to one of the
snapping back to reality.
And we're both of our characters are very prop heavy. Our profession, a barber. She's
and I'm
a baker. So during songs, I mean, she's got to literally deal with rolling pins and knives and real dough and that kind of stuff. And I have to deal with razor blades that are like switch blades. So I got to figure out the path of the razor blade tonight.
I have to deal with the knife and mm-hmm. the counter.
Yeah, sure. The set is really extravagant.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
How are the bodies going to actually fall if they do?
It's pretty much they do.
Are these actors or are these dummies?
Actors.
Oh, wow.
Actors, they really... And wow. Turn around and boom, down the chute they go.
That's really cool.
They might have little bruised bodies by the end.
There are some characters that are first written in the script that get killed. Oh. But there were several that are kind of like random customers that people were all clamoring to be those people. They wanted to be the people that get killed. If you're going to be in Sweeney Todd, you might as well get killed.
It's a coveted role.
It's part of the deal.
So there are variations of this production a little bit, mm-hmm. especially with your two characters. Sometimes they have a romance, sometimes they're just strictly business. What is with you guys?
Business on my character's end.
Romance on mine.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I've always had a fondness for him. When he was Benjamin Barker, he rented the barbershop above my pie shop. Mm-hmm. And he was married, I was married, but I've always liked him and had a, you know, and now my husband is gone and his wife is gone. And so I figure we should be partners.
We create a good business for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But it means a little more to me than it does to him.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Rose Kristen Presson spoke with Thad Mayhew and Lynn Robertson of the Theater Workshop of Owensboro's production of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd. The show runs through this weekend. Find more at WKMS.org. I'm Todd Hatton, and you've been listening to Front Page AM. Join Chad Lampe this evening at 6:30 for Front Page PM. Tonight we'll meet the 1952 Kentucky State basketball champs, the Cuba Cubs. With just 100 students, they managed to defeat some of the largest schools in the Commonwealth. If you'd like to hear this morning's or any of our stories again, you can find them anytime at WKMS.org. You can also join us Sunday morning at 9 for the hour-long Front Page Sunday. Thanks for being with us. The Marketplace Morning Report is next. Support comes from contributing listeners and the Carson Center in Paducah. Saturday, February 25th, the Carson Center presents Blast. The award-winning show incorporates a variety of brass, percussion, and visual performers to create a unique fusion of music and theater. Tickets are available at thecarsoncenter.org or at the box office at 270-450-4444. And support for the Marketplace Morning Report comes from contributing listeners in the Paducah office of Wells Fargo Advisors, investment and planning professionals proudly serving Paducah area investors. Member SIPC. It's 8:51.